That was a very good song. Thank you so much. Just telling my daughter, I feel like that's our theme song, Little as Much. as you can see, there is just what maybe some would say a small amount of people that are there. And that location even has changed since we've been there. But I just want to say before I get into the report and into the message this evening, is that our family is extremely grateful for your church family and for church families like yours who really see the principal needs through God's word to not just talk about missions, but being an enabling arm to come alongside missionaries to accomplish the work. That cannot be done in of myself or my family, and it takes many, not even our sending church, but many churches. And I'm so grateful for the principled truths of God's word that are exercised by churches like you all in supporting missionaries. So thank you. It is a tremendous blessing. It has carried us further than maybe I had planned. And, you know, I like the saying where someone said, I don't know who it was, but when man plans, God laughs. And I sometimes, that's all I could do is laugh because I want to cry. But sometimes the Lord doesn't meet our expectation, and rightly so, because he's God, he could do what he wants. Our mistake is when we place expectations in men. And when we place our expectation, our hope in the Lord, he doesn't disappoint regardless if your plan doesn't come to how you designed it to be. But I thought that maybe, you know, we would have this and that and be here and there, and never complained to any one person. I did a lot of complaining to the Lord, okay, but he always sets me straight and picks me back up, and I'm grateful for not just where we are at, but whom we are ministering to. And if I could have ever anticipated those individuals who we have been ministering to, I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine it at all. And we, just to kind of catch up just a little bit, maybe some of you all have been reading the letters, possibly. I don't really know. But I'm grateful for those who have. And you kind of see a transition right now, what I would call a plateau, where we're at currently in a life stage. Maybe a lean season, another one can interpret it like that. And it's just that, you know, through, you know, pounding the pavement with sharing the gospel and spreading the gospel as much as we can, where there was 20-some churches in a given month helping us every weekend, being able to distribute and hit the door with John and Romans and a gospel invitation, to just our family going out, to just me being out there every day, to someone, I think it was maybe Pastor was talking about, there's seasons where one individual would come out and they would go along with me for a while, and that person, you know, the Lord would just took to the next stage of life, and then it's just me again, and that's a hard moment. And then, you know, you kind of revert back to the same process and just being faithful to do what it is that God's called you to do. And I honestly, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, alongside of our pastor, Jeremiah Metzinger, and other godly men who have helped us and mentored us, you know, there's very few things we can do, and we can't control circumstances or situations, nor can we control people. But what we can do, what we can control, is our responses. And my response has always been that I'm just going to continue to do what I've been taught to do from God's word, and that is to share it and to preach it, to develop relationships with hopes and prayers to lead them to him. And we moved out of the school, which shut us down because of the pandemic. We had a time where we weren't meeting at all. We had a little camera phone, you know, videoing a backdrop, and we tried to do live, but you know, it just looked like a poor Al-Qaeda video, and I didn't want that, you know, and so we deleted all of those videos, and I was like, well, this is terrible, you know, what am I going to do? You know, months went down the way, and we ministered to people the best that we could, you know, with the Heisman pose. Everybody is in great fear because of the pandemic, and for whatever reason, you know, based out of ignorance, I'm sure, and fear, and et cetera, I'm not going to elaborate. I'm just saying is that we did what we could while we could, and then we moved into a hotel, and that is much of the landscape and scenery in which it is that you see in the video. We're actually in a convention conference room that expands from about 50 people to nearly double in size, and we were there for years, for about 4 years, and just recently, the first Sunday of January of this year, we transitioned from the hotel to an event venue, and it's an event venue that is actually owned and operated by an Eastern Indian man who had kind of courted us a little bit. And I knew God was going to do something this year as far as the body is concerned. I didn't know what, but I was preparing the church family in quarter four for such a move. And so I picked a spot that maybe would help them get the ideas that we're not going to be here forever, that we're going to continue to grow and we're going to continue to expand. And we found this place, and God opened up the door for us to be there. Right now, we're just with a 1 year, what I call a sublease, because actually, in all actuality, he's leasing the building, but then he lends us the space that he would afford another individual. Under market value, we're very grateful for the cost in that way. It's honestly, if you were to say, is it really big change? Not really. It's been really lateral for us. It's afforded more space to grow into, which is great. But honestly, I'd rather grow into something that is more of a marquee, more of an own facility where we are the leasers, and just kind of have that presence, that foothold. But every time that I'm desirous of a facility, I'm just really reminded again that it's about the people, and that's who our focus is on. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're teaching the people to kind of yield themselves to the Lord and to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, so that they would be, you know, enabled to live the Christian life and receive all the blessings that's afforded to us in that way. And it can be difficult at times because you have people that are coming and well-intentioned individuals and, you know, like the service for whatever reason, you know, whether it's the preaching or the singing or whatever the case may be, but they just don't stick and stay. And honestly, I have a stack of cards whom I've followed up with about this thick over the years, and I keep that by my study desk, just mindful that space of time that we had with them, we were faithful to minister the gospel, minister God's word, preach, to sing the timeless truths, the hymns of which it is that you have just sung, and just to be faithful in that way. And sometimes it was that as an individual who had checked in to check out later that in the week was there on Sunday, maybe waiting to go to the next place or waiting for family, and they hear singing down the long hallway, the long corridor, so they meander down there, and they're listening to hymns being sung that they had not heard since they were, you know, knee-high to a grasshopper going to church with grandpa and grandma, and it brings them to tears, moves their hearts, and you just let them soak it in, whether they dared to come in through the threshold or whether they just kind of stood in the hallway, and they were there. They were listening the whole time, and we had, you know, lost men and women just kind of hide and duck out behind the partition on the other side that was closed and would listen to the teaching and preaching of God's word. And I know for a fact that God allowed us to be there, not just for those who you saw on the screen today, but for those whom we had never seen, but that they had heard. So I'm very grateful for that. I'm telling you, what you saw tonight was really fruit that abounds to your account. You all invested into missions and invested into our family, invested in really that you knew you were going to get a return because it was really to the Lord. All of what it is that you have done has been to the Lord, and he's blessed you with that. And he'll continue to bless you so much as your sincerity is in that which it is you give to him for that cause, that people come to know Christ as their Savior and that their lives changed. So we don't do the, you know, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me prayer. We want them to really kind of sit through and understand the scriptures. The Chinese lady who was a Buddhist for a while, she did not elaborate too much. She's too humble and gracious. And she had actually took what it is that she had known growing in China and Buddhism, but merged it with New Ageism. So if you think that a person is steeped down in a religious cult of another, you know, just compound that factor and the blend of the two and enabled her to be able to counsel people. But the way that she counseled them was to speak to the quote-unquote subconsciousness of an individual. And for years she had practiced this in Hollywood, and she gained a client list and became, you know, really affluent in this area of speaking to people's subconsciousness through hypnosis. And it wasn't until recent days where she had to transition from Hollywood to Kansas City because of a relationship did she begin to read and study on why people are moving from her New Age movement into evangelicalism. So as she mentioned on the video, she has done some research online, YouTube, went to a variety of different churches, but knew that that there was something more. And through her findings, she recognized that, hey, the best Bible in English is going to be the King James. And so she came, and immediately she started asking questions. And I, you know, just say, hey, you know what? I'll answer your questions, and it's just not going to be right now. We'll set up a time, and I'll let you ask as many as you want, but I'm going to have my wife with me and the Bible open. And so she conceded that, and we spent, I think, 3 hours the first meeting, another meeting about 2 to 3 hours, another meeting about 2 to 3 hours, and she asked question after question after question, and we just, you know, kept turning the Bible and saying, you know, thus saith the Lord, or turn it over here and said, this is what the Bible says and teaches. And it's really freeing because, you know what? It's not what Keith said. It's not what I've done. I'm not giving anything based upon experience. Now, I was able, you know, just like you would be, you know, you live long enough to see God work in your life and you say, hey, because I practice, because I believe, you know, these things happen. God did this on my behalf. And so testimony after testimony and just question after question. And then one day she stopped asking questions. And I said, can I ask you a question? And she's like, yeah. It was awesome. It was great. This is out of joy. I asked her, I said, of all of these questions that you have asked, and now of all of the knowledge that you have, I said, wouldn't you want to trust Christ as your Savior, to repent of your sins and to be born again, knowing that you're going to see Jesus when you die? And she's like, yes, I would. I said, would you like to do that right now? She's like, yes, I would. And so to hear such a sweet, genuine, sincere prayer of her own words, not anything I gave her, it was just a really, really wonderful time, and she was saved on my dad's birthday, so that's always kind of a mark in my heart, my mind, and we celebrate her spiritual birthday every time, and it was a double blessing, if I can call it like that, because over the years, she has brought her little girl, and if you knew of the heartache, I suppose, of a kid bouncing from dad to mom to dad to mom, etc., it weighs on you a little bit, And she, you know, was really an answered prayer because we asked God to help her ask questions, ask her mom questions. Her mom would come back to us and ask us questions, and we'd teach her how to use the Bible to answer those things. And then pretty soon, she started asking my kids questions. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was just really wonderful to know that my children know Christ well enough to, articulate answers from Scripture to bring assurance and encouragement leading a person to a decision. That was pretty awesome by itself. Because that's who she was asking. She wasn't asking pastor. She wasn't asking the other good man of the Bible anywhere else. She didn't even ask her dad or her mom. She started asking kids of her age. Man, that's so important, so significant. And really is just accentuating the significant importance of having children being raised in the church. Some of the times we just, I'm not going to speak on my behalf yet, but sometimes we don't know if they're listening because they're great multitaskers and we don't give them credit for that. And when we think that they're not paying attention and you want to whap them upside the head, they're paying probably more attention than you are. Because you're sitting in your frustration thinking, I wish my kid would just pay attention. Why doesn't my kid listen to me? You know, and all these other things that preoccupy your mind as opposed to listening to God's word. But really, honestly, they're soaking it in. And to be able to do that was pretty impactful, and we praise the Lord for that. Little things like that, as you saw Josiah really just kind of surrender his teachings, his learnings, what he gravitated to through his rebellious years. And not just necessarily traditional Hinduism, but a merging of a variety of different thoughts and ideas and practices that was not right and contrary to God's word. But for him to deliberately choose such a name to resemble his own path to Jesus Christ is pretty powerful. And I wish I could make things up to sound it to sound like, you know, hey, we're a big giant missionary of a person. We are really not. Honestly, we are blessed to get to sit on the front row of people's lives and witness God do something. It's not because of me. Mm-mm. No, it's not because of my family. It's not because of churches that send monies to missionaries. No, it's because of the Lord. The Lord was already stirring the hearts and the minds of the people. And those are just two in which we asked if they would be willing to share their testimony and it be recorded. And there are many others like that. In the small little group that was shown there, there were some missing that day. It was picture day. As we had the videographer there, they also got headshots and professional photos for, you know, their resumes and for, you know, the family pictures and so on and so forth. So enable them to get a little gussied up, if I could say it like that, okay? We don't say, hey, listen, you're not wearing a three-piece, you cannot come through those doors, you know? We're not that kind of a church. We want the Lord to kind of move on their hearts and minds, and one of the men who've been coming of lately and bringing it now his children to church is really exciting to see. He said, man, he's like, look at all these people. They're all dressed up like they're going to church or something. He goes, we need to do this more often. And I was like, yeah, I agree. We should dress up for the Lord more often. And so it's, you know, it's their decisions. And I'm just grateful and praise the Lord for it. And man, I digress. I know that we want to preach here. Do I still do that with 7 or 8 minutes? I don't know. You sure?
Go for it.
All right. He said so. I'm just doing what it is that he said. I really do, like a lot of missionaries, and they could probably tell better stories than I can, but I really do want to share as much as I possibly can, because my time is short, and I understand, you know, your pastors understand the brevity of life even more clear now, but we are really here for a finite amount of time. We don't know if we will actually make it out of the parking lot, and if you really think of it like this. Why don't you pray like me right now? Pray that Jesus comes before I preach, okay? That might be better for everybody. But again, just understanding that the days are short. And I got into this game midlife. I feel like I've lost a lot of time. I mean, it wasn't that I wasn't, there was my rebellious time, but I'm saying this is that I wasn't exposed to what I've been exposed to, and I never had the opportunity to do what I'm doing now. But now that I'm doing it, I'm realizing we don't have much longer. Christ is coming. And man, what are we going to say when we see him face to face? Because I don't know. I think he might ask. I don't know. Anyways, I digress. But I'm just saying this. We don't have much time. And I'd like to help and to share the gospel as much as I can, when I can, wherever I can. And I'm going to probably take that that opportunity, so long as the Lord avails it to me. I'm a dying man preaching to dying people. I mean, I'm not really dying, okay? I just want to let you know that. Not that I know of. I think we all are. Okay, I digress. I'm moving on. All right, would you please grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans once again, but to the last chapter, chapter 16. And just for the sake of time, if you wouldn't mind, I'm just going to read the first five verses. And I'd like for us to not only honor the reading of God's word by standing, but that'll also help us with circulation. So if you're physically able to, that would be a blessing. Physically able to stand. No running the aisles, okay? So just stay there in your pews, all right? It'll be good. Verse number one is where I'd like to take you all in chapter number 16 of the book of Romans. It says this, again, Paul is the writer writing to these Christians in Rome, and he says this to them. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria. Look at verse number two. That ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she has been a securer of many, and of myself also. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Would you bow your head? I'm going to just pray. Lord, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the ultimate gift in sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be my Savior and to take my place, that I would spend eternity with you. I just want to praise you and thank you for that. Lord, I'm very grateful and thankful. Lord, I wouldn't know what to do without him, but I'm grateful that you sent your Comforter to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to instruct us, to enlighten us, to help us to pray and to understand your word and then empower us to do those things. Well, thank you for being here, completing your promise of your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your protection again. But Lord, we ask also too here and now that in the unity of the Spirit that we would understand clearly what it is our responsibility is to you and the church. So again, thank you, Lord, for being here with us. Thank you, Lord, for these people and their hearts for you. Where it's certainly been demonstrated time and time again. We praise you, Lord, for the under-shepherd and his wife that you've blessed this congregation with. May you continue to give them joy, length of days, and long life. Lord, I thank you for loving us, and in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Paul is writing a letter to the church at Rome, as I mentioned, but he mentions a few things here. He mentions people. Now, I've been known to name drop. Incidentally, when I first started doing it, I didn't know any better, and honestly, it's best that you'd ask permission to use another person's name in said conversation some of the time. And certainly it wasn't out of spirit of gossip, but it was just a confirmation and reassurance that, hey, we're on the same team. And Paul name drops. And I would also, too, fear that I would miss someone. Like, I would love just to go down the pews and name by name all of those who have come up to me and my family and have been a blessing to us, whether it be at the Foster's house or here or wherever. But I can't do that in fear that I'd forget someone or forget their name. But Paul makes a list of names here. I mean, starting out in verse number one, and it goes all the way down through the end of the chapter. And that's for a reason. These are laborers. These are people that have had a great impact in the faithfulness of the Apostle Paul. These are individuals that not only impacted the second greatest missionary to Jesus Christ of all time, they not only affected his life, but the church's lives, the churches that they were a part of. And if we walk down the lines, you can see from verses 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10, they are laborers, they are fellow prisoners, they are beloved, they are helpers, they are laborers, and the list goes on and on and on. Phoebe, being introduced first, was a born-again believer, a sister in Christ of Paul, but a servant to the Lord and a helper to the church. I mean, just this, the title in which Paul had given her as I'm going to say this wrong, so pardon the Kansas French here, the securer, or basically a caretaker of personal affairs. I believe that your pastor experienced someone with the spirit of Phoebe of late in his life, that this individual sought out the care for him and for his family. This is who I imagine Phoebe to be. Phoebe cared not only for Paul, but she cared for those that were in the church. Well, how did she do that? Well, she went and got a loan out of the bank and started giving people money. No. She used her own resources. She used her own intellect, her own desire to care for people, and it cost her. It cost her time. It cost her money. It cost her effort. It cost her comfort. Now, if you look there to the next group of individuals here, we see a couple. We see Aquila and Priscilla are listed here first, Priscilla and Aquila, but all throughout Scripture, you read about them, and there is a constant balance on who is named first and who is named second. Now the liberals would love to take that and say Priscilla was an independent Baptist preacher. Nope. No, there is no woman who is an independent Baptist preacher behind the pulpit leading a congregation. None. That is prevalent, and it's disgusting where we're at, okay? That's where we're at, in our neck of the woods. They call them pastors. They call them priests. They call them elders, and they're not. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting on a hobby horse. I got a little excited there, but I just want to let you know that that is the truth of God's word. Yeah. But what is happening, I believe, okay, this is maybe my opinion, so maybe I should step away just a little bit and say this. I think it's a balance. I think God is honoring them in the names of whether it's first or second, not to put too much weight on that, but to say, hey, that they were together, working together, serving together. And I just love that. I love it because they were a family doing it together. They didn't have official title like Phoebe. You know, they didn't have this influencing presence in their life. But I'll tell you what it is that they did have. Faithfulness. They were faithful. Wherever they were at, they were faithful. And Paul acknowledges that. He even went further in other passages of Scripture. We'd see in the book of Romans and I think Corinthians and other places that they were not only influential in his life, but in the church's lives. We see that they helped him in Corinth and in Ephesus. They helped Apollos in Ephesus. They helped Timothy in Ephesus. They helped other individuals along the way. They were faithful to God. They were faithful to God's people. They were faithful to the attending of godly things in godly places. They were willing to choose to minister, meaning giving in service. Let's take another step. They ministered to ministers. And they did it effectively. I believe that we have been influenced by them. Yes, because they're in the passage, but also because of whom they influenced. Paul specifically, Apollos, and Timothy. I was reading on these individuals and I came across this and I thought, how fitting. Now, help me out, and you have to imagine with me for a little bit, okay? Because some of you may have been to this place. I have not. But the way that I read it and understand the Dead Sea, it's a body of water inside of Israel that just so happens to be at the lowest place in all of the globe. Now, if you and I were to run and do the polar plunge and jump in, we would jump in and we would pop right back up as if we were a black or a red and white bobber, okay? You'd be red and I'll be white. We'd just kind of bob up and down. The salt density is so high that it causes the person to float. But yet at the same time, as the Jordan River, a freshwater river, is flowing into this place, bringing all sorts of life into it, the water of the Dead Sea is bitter. Because everything that was good and everything that was alive flowed into it to decay and die. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. All the Dead Sea does is receive, receive, receive. It just sits there and receives life and receives the waters of the Jordan River, and yet nothing comes out. Nothing does. Every living thing that flows in doesn't come out. Life becomes death when it's kept to itself. Have you heard that before? Anything that was living decayed because the Dead Sea kept it. I think growing up in the Baptist church, my granddad being the preacher in initial years and always being there, Dad always brought us every time the doors were open. And after the last amen, I mean, Dad would shake hands and he would be out the door and we would get in the car and drive away. But I'd have to ride the activity bus on midweek right after school, and we'd drive 45 minutes to the church. It was the only independent Baptist church in the county. We grew up in a rural county. And we were always there in church. And it was the same people there every single night, every single morning, the same individuals. Unfortunately, I attended my own granddad's funeral because they asked me to lead. And I saw some of those people. They're still going to church there. But the church has always been the same size, and it's never really grown outside of the single little aisled country church. Now, I'm not pointing at any one church, but I'm saying this. Sometimes there's a spirit of individuals that they are drinking from the fountain of life every single week. They are sitting and receiving. They are sitting and receiving the life that comes out from this book. They are the benefactors of someone else's labor. And they are just receiving and receiving and receiving. But on the inside, they're dying. And unfortunately, we see the lives of churches die, decease. Because although that there was life, although there was a living fountain that was coming forth and they were ingesting it, nothing in of themselves came out. They didn't do anything with it. They just sat there to be served instead of serving. I don't believe that was Phoebe. I don't believe that was Priscilla or Aquila. I don't believe that was Mary. I don't believe that was Urbane. I don't believe that it was any of these individuals that were listed here in Romans 16. Many people within the church are going to experience God's blessings because it's His goodness. And we'll take it in and we'll draw it in. We'll hear the truths of God's word, but we'll never share it. And we exist. God designed the ministry to serve other people. And remember, ministering is giving of ourselves for the glory of God and for the good of other people. Serving other people is not meant to be kept. It's meant to be shared. And if you're not serving the Lord or serving God's people or attending to the things of God in the assembly of God and you're just receiving, you're not giving. And if we consider what God wants for every single Christian, I think that we would, well, think less of self and more of Christ. Jesus said, even so as the Son of Man cometh not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. If he is our example, he is not seeking to be ministered to. Yet oftentimes individuals will come into a church and they will immediately just sit down without saying one thing to anybody. They go to the regular spot there. And that's where they'll sit to be served, not to serve. Man, Aquila and Priscilla did what God wanted them to do. Priscilla and Aquila did exactly what I believe that Paul wanted them to do. The submission to obey simply to God, it created like a spiritual chain of reactions that exceeded their expectation. And you know what? The same would happen to us. Just by the way of humility, if we just sought out to serve other individuals, a spiritual chain reaction would occur inside of our lives. They ministered to the preacher at the local church, verse number 3. It says, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now, nearly every pastor will tell you that one of the greatest needs within the church is to have more ministers, to have more ministry workers, people that are willing to help. And I think that's all well, fine, and said, and done. Especially, and I'm not going to go into detail because he has developed the processes of developing ministry workers and leaders, etc. I'm not going to elaborate on that, but I am saying this, is that there are willing people to help. That's good. But if you're not, why not? Don't use the excuse, well, I don't fit in. You're here. There are a lot of people here this morning. An opportunity to get them engaged. Man, we have a plethora of ideas, but honestly, too, we understand that it's going to help by influence. Amen. Hey, how you doing? My name is Mr. So-and-so. My name is Mrs. So-and-so. As opposed to allowing someone from the very front doors come all the way to their seat without one handshake. They'll be observed, which is good. You want that security. That's good. It's safe. But there must be a genuine connection. Can you imagine a person leaving? Oh, yeah, I went to that church. They ignored me the whole time. Came in, I sat down, no one said nothing. I got up, I walked out, no one said nothing. I don't know. I don't think that's how it's supposed to go. Jesus Christ said this. He said, pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. A believer who's sincere in his heart will serve the Savior regardless of the personality experience. And through serving selflessly will receive the blessings of the Lord. By God's grace, a person will determine tonight whether or not they're going to be a laborer for the Lord or a helper in Christ to the church. But tonight I'd really want you to focus in on, you know, is what I'm doing out of the sincerity of my heart. I can come in here, I can go through the motions. I love this church family. I can come in here, we can go through the motions and sit and be served and even shake hands and smile at people and be on our way and come back. But did I affect anybody's life? Maybe just listening to a person one time, and though they may have the most weirdest, awkward conversation with you, you were there and you listened the entire time. You walk away from that thinking, man, I'm glad that's over. Ooh, that guy's a weirdo. But then you come back and you are engaging with the church family and lo and behold, so-and-so and says something to another. And then there's testimony time and the person gets up that you listen to awkwardly and begins to give a testimony on how their life was impacted by that single moment in time. I needed somebody to listen to. I needed somebody to talk to. There was something in which I just needed to get out of my head. I needed to hear it. Well, I'm just going to tell you, I think that's a little slice of heaven to be able to listen to somebody who needs to be listened to. Now, some of us are professional yammers. I get that. But, you know, oftentimes there's something inside of them that needs to come out. and they're just needing to listen to somebody. I digress. Verse number 4, he says, who we have my life laid down their own necks. To understand this in serving the Savior, I would say that our expectation should not, as we are serving Him, to be served, but to understand that the service to the Savior is going to require sacrifice. Don't expect your service to be convenient to your schedule. Does that make sense? You want to serve the Lord. You have a desire to serve the Lord. But then when it encroaches your schedule or your timeline or even your own ideas, people kind of take a step back and say, nah, it's not for me. Can you imagine a willing, able-bodied individual who could physically help another decides to dip out because they got to take someone to the ball game? There's a missed opportunity there. Aquila and Priscilla did not seek after their own personal comfort. They did not receive public accolades. They did not need the constant motivation. What they did, they saw the need and they took the lead. They knew, hey, I can serve the Savior in this way. I think I'm going to do that. But it required sacrifice. They literally laid down their own necks. You've heard that saying before. Hey, will you stick your neck out for me? You know where that saying comes from, right? The guillotine. I mean, but they were willing to do that. Do you know? Let me ask you this. Do you know of somebody who's willing to stick out their neck for you? And if you can't answer that, that's not on you. Just turn the question around. Are you willing to stick your neck out for someone else? For the sake of time, I'm going to fast forward a little bit. When a Christian ministers to the minister, they actually have a part in the ministry. When people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they had a part of that. Aquila and Priscilla encouraged Paul in helping churches minister effectively. Now, if I was at home, I would say serving at Ironwood Baptist Church is going to require, and then I would go down the list. But these are thoughts that I gave specifically to the church. I haven't voiced them out yet, okay? I haven't aired this out yet to them. But, I mean, if I was standing before them, I would say something like this. I would say, sacrificing time God gave you to attend church, you should think about serving in. Greeting guests at the door all the time. Anywhere, by the way, you all did a fantastic job of that. I mean, really, that was really, really good to have someone there ready and willing. As a matter of fact, it was a little lady, little girl, about your daughter opened up the door for us this morning. That was awesome. Yeah, good job, Dad. Ushers ushering. I mean, that's great. That is fantastic. Setting up and tearing down. That's what we need. Obviously, you don't do that here. Our family needs individuals who are willing to come along their pastor's family to help set up and to tear down every single Sunday. Volunteering, scheduling, picking up and bringing people to church. Praise the Lord, we have the van that we do have now. We're able to bring more people in that, and that's all helpful, well said and done. And man, I know that you may not be a bus driver. I don't know if you have them here or not, but wouldn't it, though, be interesting enough that you yourself decided to go out and get a CDL just in case? Just in case. I like it what the other preacher said. You know, we pray for an opportunity maybe to go to minister and go on a missions trip somewhere, but you've yet to get your passport. What if you just went out and got your passport just in case? It's kind of like preparing for God to use you. Now, fast forwarding again, Aquila and Priscilla ministered not only to the preacher, but they ministered to the local church, and you can see that in 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. In mapping out a movement of Priscilla and Aquila, you would find that they did move from here to there just a little bit, more so because of governmental persecution. But what they did along the way, they encouraged the church. Now again, fast forwarding for sake of time, you've been really attentive and I've gone way over. He's so gracious to allow me to do that. But I'm going to say this. I just want you to think about this. I know that you all probably do some of these things already. So I may be preaching to the choir. But there is a level of which it is that we've been doing it because we've been doing it for so long. Coming and going out of the church and a church family that loves you and you love them is a wonderful, awesome thing. We come from one of those, South Knollwood Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas. We love that church family, and I know that they love us, and we were sent out from them. It's really hard nowadays to connect with them, and when we do, we kind of feel like there's a tearing away all over again. So we just know that they love us, and we love them, and they've taught us and trained us really, really well, and I know that's what's happening here as well. But we can get so wrapped up in our creature comfortism. I know that's a word, I just made it up, okay? So to stay out of that, consider increasing the fervency. You may be doing something already. Yes, good. Keep doing it. Increase your intensity. Increase the fervency, especially in your prayer life. Specifically in your prayer life. That is a very sensitive place, not for you to get what you want, but for you to talk to the blesser and just say, I want you. And when you're starting to ask just for him, he will open up doors, afford you opportunities, allow you to speak in such a way that inside your head you're thinking, where did that come from? It came from the Lord. God used you because you prayed. Pray for God's blessing upon your pastor and his family. I know that you do, and I just want you to increase your intensity in doing that. Pray that you would speak the right words, the right way, not only to the pastor and to his family, but also to the church family and as many that come through that door. Make it your mission to start shaking hands on this side and end up finishing on that side before the preaching starts, before the service starts. Touch every single person in a good way. Shake hands, okay? Now, if you're doing bro hugs, that's one thing. That's okay. But if you do more than three pats on the back, bro, you're doing it wrong, okay? It gets a little weird and awkward. But be intentional about shaking hands. Write to your pastor. Write to his wife, not text messaging, not emails. How many people still get handwritten notes? How many people still send them? I'll tell you what, there's a lady in here who's been sending stuff to our family for the last couple of years, and we loved it. We absolutely loved it because we knew how much time and effort it took to make those and design those cards. There was the fewest words in them, but it was the craftsmanship. We understood that a person sat down deliberately to create something and using their mind to be a blessing to somebody else. That's what I'm talking about. Now, don't go making a bunch of cards, everybody, picking up a new hobby. I'm just saying, use what it is that God has given you to exercise for his glory and for other people's good. Be faithful to give. I knew that banker was going to talk about money. Your time. Your ability. Your resources. Engage in giving for the sake of the gospel. Even if it's a tank of gas. Give what God has given you. He's given you a lot. I gave every kid that came along. It seemed like one point in my life, every 17 months, there was another creature in my house. And we gave that little baby to the Lord. But before we did that, we gave ourselves to him. Have you? Well, I got saved. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about laying down your wants. I'm talking about laying down your I cannot do. I'm talking about laying down at prostrate before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you can get that low, and just saying, I am nothing without you. I'm talking about that I know you all are doing these things, but I want you to increase your intensity and sincerity. Avoid being negative. Quit criticizing other people. regardless if they'll help you or not. Because quite frankly, if you criticize so much that you get them to help you, it might be the worst mistake that you ever made. Avoid being negative, don't complain. Complaining is simply uttering or expressing anything in grief or pain. Don't lament. The greatest thing that you could do is to be faithful. Be faithful to the Lord. 15 years of knowing Paul in the ministry, Aquila and Priscilla were always faithful. Starting well, as far as we could tell in the scriptures, and ending well, as far as we could tell in the scriptures, they were faithful to each other, they were faithful to Paul, and they were faithful to the churches. Most men will proclaim every one of his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Will you bow your head and close your eyes? Lord in heaven, thank you for being so good to us. Lord, thank you for the liberty in which it is that the pastor had found, Lord, to give and to exercise. Thank you for the liberty of the Holy Spirit of God. And I am so grateful that we were able to open up the Word of God and to be able to glean from you. And Lord, of all the things in which you have given us, you've given us time. And now we can never get back what it is that we've laid down before you in these pews tonight. And so, Lord, I pray that as the individual that had their heart softened towards the Holy Word of God and that they heard it, Lord, that they would respond to it, respond whether it be an invitation, but most importantly, that it would be responsive in action. God in heaven, you know that we're a needy people and we need you. But Lord, help us to bless you in everything that we say and do and bring great glory to you. And in Jesus' name, amen.